The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
This is the really big deal, Brian Burgundy, and you're listening to the number one podcast in the world, and that's Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Well, now that that training session is over, I go back to my regular work schedule, and you should see the look on my face, ladies and gentlemen, of joy. Yay! So this past week I was in training. Training I was involved in was to become a trainer for a certain job activity, or let's just say a behavior crisis prevention. It's an exercise that we have to do with affiliated to my job, and I'm going to train others to do that and how to do that. So this past week, sitting in the training, shout out to those guys that was there. Shout out to Jermaine, John, who are two big wrestling fans who I put onto the podcast. Shout out to the rest of the crew, Igor, and the locks who are all out there. Shout out to D. The training was excellent. Like I had a really good time, picked up a lot of stuff. I knew a lot of things, but it's one of those instances where, you learned that you were actually taught improperly. So now you're picking up the nuances of how to do things, and then you are ready to go to the job and share them with everybody else. Cause honestly, I was already calling my people. So I was like, yo, when I get to work next week, yo, y'all about to get some shit. I'm about to we're about to change some shit up. Cause man, they've been teaching us wrong. So, I was happy that I was able to be a part of the training this past week. I did well, did very well. I have to work on certain things, like, you know, since you guys do know I work in the hospital setting, I have to work on implementing how to convey the clinical terms and teaching that to others, because I'm too self-centered. Everything has to be about me. And like, I always share things through my experience rather than just give out those points. Salient. That was the words that they were using. Have to use the salient points to get across to the masses. So basically I just have to stick to what they're telling me in the book and just do it, which I'm okay to. So I'll be certified to train. I'll be co-training classes for the next 6 months or so. Then I go back for a refresher, and then hopefully I could get the full Winnebago to train. But other than that, I felt I did well. And being able to help to make my work environment a little bit more safer for not only my constituents, but for staff, makes me such a happy person. It makes me all warm and cuddly inside. Whatever. Yeah. But no, it's like I said, it's been a good week. I was just been beating myself up. I'm like, shit, I could have fucking hit those other fucking those points that I needed to hit. I could have hit it. If I knew ahead of time what was it exactly what they wanted, I would have made sure to hit them shits. But I don't know. I'll get it the next round. But other than that, welcome, everybody, to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I'm your host, Mr. Ear to the Mat, the King of Talk Style, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Scent here. Be sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the Like and Group page on Facebook. Get us on the Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on the Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on YouTube and on TikTok on Turnbuckle Tabloid. Be sure you check us out on all the podcasting outlets available to you. It's all out there. It's in the works. It's in the world. Make sure you check us out on iHeart, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you can get a podcast, wherever the app is, whatever app you're using, we are there. We're everywhere. Hell, like I said before, I even found us on Samsung's their providers for free TV and podcasts as well. We were on there, so kudos to us for there. So you can't sit there and say that you can't find us. Turnbuckle Tabloid, we are here for everyone. Also, if you don't go through there, you could always go through the network. You know what network. Not the WWE network, because that's not here anymore. Make sure you check us out on RageWorksNetwork.com. That's where you get all the RageWorks family podcasts under one umbrella. It's all there for you. Toys and Techs, Black's New Black, Trek Untold, and much, much more, guys. Be sure you check us out there at RageWorksNetwork.com. And as always, check out the fam at RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net has everything under the umbrella that deals with the culture we enjoy. We have video games, movies, TV shows, comic books. It's all there. Toys, all there, guys. Check out reviews, previews, contests, and all stuff connected to pop culture. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is, at RageWorks.net. This week, like I said, was in training, and it's funny, I had to, you know, since I usually work overnights, I had to change up my sleep routine. So I was getting up at 6:30 in the morning to have to travel about an hour and a half. Yeah, and believe me, they could have had this fucking training in Florida before, as far as I was traveling, but come to realize that it wasn't that bad. So happens that my route to the training facility where I was going was, how can I explain it? Okay. So in New York City, you know, everybody knows that there's subways, and there's subway routes that kind of run alongside each other, be it a few blocks away, maybe about a mile or so and such. So going through Brooklyn, I had chosen one route to take per day, because I found that, you know, the train would go express and I would get there faster. Had I chosen the other route that was available to me, I probably could have been caught up in the shooting that involved in that train, because it happened around the same time. And it was going, and it was in that same area. I was maybe about a mile and a half, 2 miles away from it. So it could have, I could have been in that vicinity. Thankfully, I wasn't. But, you know, I guess I had to do that flag that they do on Facebook, where it's safe from train shooting in Brooklyn. So, yeah, thankfully, I chose wisely and did not go another direction. But thankfully, no one was killed. Unfortunately, there were many that were injured. And yes, they caught the son of a bitch who did it. So other than that, this has been a cool week. One of those weeks I was able to watch wrestling in real time. That I didn't have to watch later on or at work on YouTube or on my phone. I was actually able to sit down and watch every show real time, which was great. Like, I could actually hate the shows now in real time. But lots to pull back this week. There's a lot to talk about this week. Also went to House of Glory this week. House of Glory's Redemption was this week. And I forgot. No, it wasn't Redemption. Shit. I'll get the name for Around the Square Circle. Tribute? No, it wasn't something like that. I was on there. But I'll give you guys a review and we'll discuss in Around the Square Circle. Other than that, Wrestling Rundown, we got much news to talk about. Possible release date for AEW's video game. We also had discussions on the possible buyout that's occurring between Discovery and Warner Media, which could be problematic for AEW. couple of name changes that are occurring in the WWE, and much, much more. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll return with you guys in a sec.
Yo, what up, you dum-dums? It's your boy, Teriyaki 68, and I'm here to promote my new product. In case you don't know, Teriyaki's never been like this. 68 has always been
straight-A student who has been able to excel in the highest and most prestigious level of education and is world-renowned for my eloquent way of speaking and dictation.
But yo, after I took this new toothbrush that nah, y'all know in the hood, Teriyaki 68 is a big fan and a promoter of Oral-B, my. So when I'm not out there telling dudes to go themselves or tell them to go suck my, I'm keeping my fronts clean and fresh with Oral-B, the toothbrush that keeps your hood gangster in your mouth, my. The one thing I couldn't stand is walking around in my hood with a stink mouth. The other thing I couldn't stand was walking around my hood and not being able to talk hood. So I needed Oral-B, my G, because that's what I use to make sure that all the things that I get popping that's coming out of my mouth is going to be legit fire when I'm on the microphone. So all you mother and you and also you old ass can't eat a and a. If you don't think this toothbrush is the best toothbrush for you and your peoples, you know what I'm saying? What, you don't believe me? You don't believe your boy Teriyaki 68? Well, let me give you an example of what Oral-B, the product that I sponsor, that mouth utensil to not only keep you fresh and clean, but keep you hood in the hood. Let me tell you, my boy John is about to tell you guys how to keep it in his hood out there in Beverly Hills, California. So John, take it away. Let them know how to keep your mother G'd up in your neck of the woods, gangster.
Hi, I'm John from Streets of Beverly Hills. And when I found out that OBB was the, I don't want to curse, but the bee's knees, I knew I had to buy it for me and my great pals here in Beverly Hills. And once I used Oral-B, I became the most hygienic mother in Beverly Hills. All these Beverly Hills got nothing on me. Oral-B is the best thing I ever bought. And all my in the hood know what's up with Oral-B, dog. And because my teeth are the whitest in the hood, they're as clean as Betty White's.
So if your breath smell like and you ain't got no peoples you can hang out with because you ain't got no swag and nobody in the hood fuck with you because you ain't got no gangster on you, and you feel as though that maybe you may be getting some a form of halitosis or some green film on your teeth, you might want to mess with Oral-B, my dude, because on some real that's the that will clean your mouth up and make you sound like a real OG hood, straight from Brooklyn, NYC, gangster all day, every day. You know what I'm saying? So take it from me, Teriyaki 68, your mans, you know what I mean? I might be doing a minute right now, but in some sense, I'm going to be doing my whole full with a clean mouth and holding my own. And if I have to, I'll carve up my Oral-B and make it a shank. You know what I'm saying, my that's what I do. Holla at me and holla at Oral-B, the toothbrush, not only to clean your mouth, but also keep you hood. Holla. Hey, yo, where the fuck is my money for this fucking commercial, man? Because on some G shit, I need my money for this fucking bail, man. I can get the fuck out of here because motherfuckers come in here and want to rape my ass and tear up my booty hole and shit. On some real shit. Teriyaki can't be in this shit for too long. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit, son. And yo, and for the rest of y'all motherfuckers out there that think y'all can play me, yo, suck my dick for
guys, man, it is brought to you by
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
This is Juba, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santy.
Live from New York!
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Hey,
Yeah, trying to get my schedule back in order. So what happens is I'll since I've been sleeping through the night, I have to now reprogram myself to not sleep through the night. What I need to do is, even though I'm not tired, I have to lay down to try to take a nap so that I can be up during the night. So in this sense, I started Open Salvo, got to a certain time, and I just said, all right, got to take a nap now. I had to train my body to get back to going to overnights. Usually after a couple of beers or something like that, I would it would be easier to do. But since it was a full week of it, then it's a little bit more tougher to go back that way. It's not that I'll struggle, but it's just a little bit tougher to get back to the routine. I miss the early days when I could just fucking break night, whatever the fuck I can. That's what we would call it, breaking night, when you could just stay up all fucking night. It was easier that way. I could just fucking be up. But this is how I have to get back. Get older, people. You get fucking older. You get older. So right now I'm recording at 3:30 in the morning. The rest of the show, because I got up and retraining my body to be up at this time. So, as always, I am the Norm McDonald of this segment, and I am this is the wrestling rundown weekend update. So, this past week, you guys were if you guys were watching Raw this week, we got an opening in which Cody and Miz were at a conversation, had a segment, and during the promo, there was some banter, and as you can see or hear, Cody used certain words in which are frowned upon in the WWE, and during this conversation, Miz would be correcting him. For instance, he'd say wrestler, and Miz would say sports entertainer. I found it fucking hilarious. I thought it was smart, because I bet someone in the back made a notice to Cody during his first promo, which he made such references, like he said, wrestler and championship belt. And, you know, those are two no-nos, because it's sports entertainer, pal. And it's not a belt. Belt holds up your pants. It's titles. It's championships. So someone made a quick note to Cody about this, and they ran with it, and Cody said, fuck it, let's use it as a moment in the segment. So a lot of people were like, ooh, Cody said bad words. And it's like, no, they pretty much were, they were rolling with it, ladies and gentlemen. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Do you understand me, heifer?
So it looks like WWE will finally be making a return to the UK this year. It looks like WWE will make its first return in September to kick off a 3-event standoff. And one may actually be Money in the Bank, which will be cool as shit. I'm happy for our peoples out there in the UK. Shout out to Ben the Brit. You guys have been waiting for a WWE event for quite some time, especially after the pandemic. So those fans are always cool. If you ever, I actually was at an indie event during the WrestleMania weekend where Brits were in the audience. And mind you, it had to be maybe 50 people in the audience, and six or seven of them were Brits, eight of them were Brits, and they fucking were the life of the party. I loved it. So those guys are fun, and it'll be fun to see that audience, that crowd at a WWE event again.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Pretty deadly. Speaking of UK teams, were crowned the NXT championships this past week, due in part to Nash Carter being released over the allegations of, well, nobody really knows why the fuck he was released. Was it the Hitler pact? Was it the allegations of domestic violence? Nobody really knows. There's still a campaign to get him back in the company. I feel as though he was unjustly released, but who the fuck knows? So now the tag team, Pretty Deadly, are the new NXT champs. And I'm like, really? Not Grizzled Young Vets? Really? Oh, whatever.
18,000 people calling you an asshole.
The Good Brothers contract seems to be coming up this July with Impact Wrestling. They recently had a conversation with the guys from What Culture, and it seems as though that they may be heading back to AEW once their contract is up in Impact. Does anyone really give a shit? I don't think so. I don't think anyone cares. I think it's just going to be like that, that formulation. Is that a word? Formulation? I have to look that up. If not, I just made it up. Fuck it. Hey, we'll go with it. It'll just be a formulation of, fuck. Mary J. Blige got away with holleration. Fuck it, right? This will be their reasoning to, I guess, fully bring Bullet Club together. So, we'll see what happens, right? I used to love these guys, but now it's just, they've fallen by the wayside for me. I really don't give a shit. Fuck them.
This is the really big deal.
Yeah, that's not supposed to be it. Where did that come from?
It's good. It's being a champion.
Seems as though the AEW game is going to be released ahead of schedule. Sources have broken ground saying that the AEW game looks to be releasing in September. There have been some speculations that the game has been draining in the financial pockets of Tony Khan and the guys over there. So there's a possibility they'll be pushing this game out quickly. Forecasters say that many of the models are completed and that now they're just tightening up on the storyline aspect and the playability. There is some discussion coming out of Kenny Omega's way, stating that the game will play as if you are the wrestler. The feel, the touch, and the story modes will give you the sensation and control of being said wrestler, whether it be a Jungle Boy, a Darby Allin, or whatever creator wrestler you make. So it's a more of an arcade feel type game, but it's also quote unquote a wrestling type game. Saying that would probably be saying that that game will have more wrestling than fucking AEW themselves, because whoops, that's not what they're not wrestling over there, just in case you want to know. Even still, the goal is to get the game over and have the same feel as though if it's the No Mercy or the NWO versus WCW game, and so far from what I've seen, it looks that way. So we'll see.
You know what you just made the list.
Jim Ross has commented on his podcast that he will not go back to the dark side of the ring. These comments were made during part of a question I was asked him about whether or not he'd be returning for the
I believe it's the fourth season. And Jim Ross says he has no intentions to do in part that he loves the guys that who put the show together. He loves the content, but he feels as though that the show's editing doesn't bring a good light to many of the stories. I guess that's why it's called Dark Side of the Ring. But also that the editing also seems to not give a full story, a full contrast of the content in which, or the information that was shared by said participants of the show. I mean, I get that because of time constraints and such. And they also have like an extended version of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes, but that's pretty much like an editorial or an addition after the fact. You know, when you see in a news story to where, you know, page 2 and 3 will be black man shoots white man at a deli, and then it'll just look like some really horrible thing, and then a week later you'll see like in page 12 the reason why the black guy shot the white guy was because the white guy brandished a gun first, and you'll never get the real full story. You'll just get the shocking headline. So I can get what he's saying with that you're not getting the full story when it comes to the Dark Side of the Ring. But I mean, what can you do in an hour, maybe 2 hour segments, right?
You're a real idiot. You know that.
Tony Khan on his debut of Sanctum Singh debut. Is that's how you pronounce his name? Sanctum Singh is the new addition to AEW, also known as Great Khali 2.0. He debuted with Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt this past week. And it was during afterbirth of the Minoru Suzuki Samoa Joe match, in which Samoa Joe wins the TV title. And afterwards, the lights hit, and out comes this big behemoth of a man. Tony Khan basically had said he regrets not cutting out the lights, because what happened was the lights cut out, and this big motherfucker jumps up in the ring. And after a blowback from the fans, not from everyone, I guess. You know what? Who gives a fuck who said anything about it? Who cares? It's your fucking program. You know, to be honest, that wasn't even the fucking part that bothered me. The part that bothered me is the fact that, like, who is he? Like, honestly, the buildup sucked. It was stupid. In any case, he responds by saying it wasn't his idea, but he, at the end, he's the one who, signs off on it, so he takes responsibility for it. But in fact, it was a 30-year vet in the business who came up with the idea of turning the lights out for when that happened. So he was looking for ideas for it, and he had gotten more pros than cons for that segment, so he went with it and got the blowback. Here's my shit. Why do you have to always answer to the fucking fans? Why? Why? You do this media scrums for no fucking reason. I don't see Scott D'Amore doing this shit at fucking Impact. I don't see Vince doing this shit every fucking week. It's like, why do you need to be the one that's out front and center? And you do way too much to give the fucking fans what they want, because you're afraid of a blowback, a negative reviews. Listen, you're going to get negatives regardless of what you do. Just roll with the fucking punches. It's, you know what it is that you want to give the fans everything they want in one fucking sitting. This is not a buffet. A real delicious dinner is when you give it course by course. You know, you start with the appetizer, you start with an entree, you get, you know, you build up, you get the salad, you build up. And, you know, some people might not be an entree person, some people may not be a salad person, somebody might not be a soup person. But you get to the main course and you get to the dessert, And then everybody's happy. That's what fucking storytelling is. You don't always have to have the greatest fucking, you know, build up, but at least have a condensed story that has, you know, logic. Stop giving the fans what everything they want and stop answering them. You don't have to fucking, you don't have to justify the things that you do. You know, if you want to do something once every 6 months, if you want to do something, fine. But nobody fucking wants to deal here, you know, kowtowing to the fans every fucking week. Who cares? Just do the fucking job. So I think this guy's on blowing Adderall because he has no time to do. He has all this time to do this shit and doesn't fucking sleep. And they talk shit about Vince. Jesus Christ. Sorry, I don't mean to say that on a Good Friday, Holy Weekend. Like, I'm really fucking with the Jews. It's unfortunate to report that we hear that the man known as Mr. Meat Sauce himself, Virgil, is going through some serious health concerns. This past week on his Twitter, he announced that he wasn't feeling well a few weeks ago, and comes to find out that doctors had told him that he had suffered two strokes when he didn't even know it. He was feeling some numbness in his arm and lack of functioning, and was told by the doctors that he's going through some bad times. He was also informed that he may be going through the early stages of dementia. So he reached out to the fan base to let them know the reason why he hadn't been active on social media lately, and he just wanted to let the guys, you know, the fan base know that, keep him in his prayers, and please show some support. Go out to his Meat Sauce websites and also buy his game that he has on Android and iPhone stores. So prayers go out to Virgil, and we hope all things turn out well for the Meat Sauce, for the Meat Sauce Man and the Meat Sauce Mafia.
Good Lord, 91. That's awesome.
One more before the main event. Brian Cage was told by WWE that he was mid at best. Brian Cage recently spoke with a podcast this past week talking about his time at FCW and how he was in line to be a part of the emergence of NXT. And he spoke on the way that he was informed that what he needed to do to get better, and when he was prepped and ready to be part of the launch of NXT, he was let go and was told via text that he is average at best and seemed a little bit too green, but to hit the indie scene and possibly help to season his skills. You don't like the indies, but you are then told to hit these indie scenes to get better, because apparently you guys were the best of the best to teach indie wrestlers. Granted, this is before the PC, the Performance Center, was fully created. So this was just them underneath their independent umbrella, when Florida Championship Wrestling was there. And I guess this is their way of saying, this isn't your time. I don't know. Cage hits hot and cold for me sometimes. He has a great look. I think he does a lot of stuff that a big man shouldn't do. But, you know, once again, that's the wave of wrestling these days. He's had a reputation of, you know, just trying to get himself over. I mean, his fucking tights say "get my shit in." That's his that's what the abbreviation is in it. So it's basically him looking out for himself. But I think that with the right tutelage, with the right kind of individual, like, he's no Ryback. I'll say that. I haven't seen him really go as far as injure individuals, and he works really well with people. I thought his best runs at in his career so far were in Impact. So I can see that there's something there for him. I'm just, like I said, there's something about him, and I think that AEW should have taken their opportunity to had put him under someone who could wrangle him a little bit, or you know, show him how to move more like a big man. But I don't know. Maybe what Brian Cage's loss is Wardlow's game, I guess. Let's see. The way it skipped like that, just say it had that feel to it. I was like, here we go, EDM and shit in here. So I think I mentioned it earlier last week, where it looks like the Discovery Corporation Networks, whatever you're gonna put under, looks like they're gonna be taking over Warner Media in the next couple of weeks or so. That merger would possibly cause some trouble with All Elite Wrestling. Reason why I'm saying is because, if you guys don't know, Discovery and their networks, yeah, they're pretty cookie cutter. Pun intended, because under those umbrellas is like the Food Network, the Cooking Network, like Discovery, IFC, all that stuff. And a lot of that stuff is not violent. I mean, so this could be trouble for AEW and their booking. So far, I believe AEW, they were signed in to be under TNT TBS until 2026. So if and when this merger is complete, they still have another 4 years under this new corporation. This is not going to work with this, possibly not going to. I'm not going to put the carriage before in front of the horse, but this possibly can be problematic for AEW, seeing as though that Discovery is not one in which it's not kind on the whole violence and blood and gore kind of programming. I would say that this might be for the best, because this will then save their blood and gore aspect of matches for the pay-per-views, where they're supposed to fucking be. Jeez. So, that's a good thing. I think I'm happy to say that that can work. Listen, I'm not this soft snowflake pussy when it comes to blood and gore, and I welcome it. It's part of the business, part of wrestling. But there's a buildup for it. There's no blood for the sake of blood. If you're gonna be a fucking deathmatch promotion, then just say you're a deathmatch promotion. Stop giving these red herrings of bullshit or fallacies. know, just say, listen, this is the company that we are. We are indie fed with fucking money. And even indie feds these days aren't that fucking heavy on the blood and gore. So if you're a fucking deathmatch fucking company, I mean, that's just what it is. But, you know, now it tightens up the booking. It should, you would think. It's going to tighten up the booking. And maybe we can see Tony and the guys over there start to, I don't know, tell better stories. Long-lasting stories. Stories that will make sense. Wishful thinking, right? All right. So, that's going to be interesting. I'm going to be keeping an eye on this because this can actually be... I'm not going to say that this could hurt the company. I actually think this can make the company better and direct that ship to where it is. I've mentioned before how I'm not much of a... believer on what ratings mean to a program. I don't tell the tale there. That's for networks to do because they're the ones that have to follow demos and for advertising and such. That's their thing. But for me, fans are fickle. Fans have shit they have to do every day and every night. So ratings could go up and down depending on the weather. So... you know, and once again, fans process television differently these days. So, I mean, I think for the most part, if you want to continue to have a strong audience and keep their baseline, I think you should go back to the well, which was the early days of wrestling, and get back to the stories. Get back to that and stop having to do this shock value bullshit. Stop having a Texas death match every fucking week. Stop having a lights out match every week. Stop having a sanction match every week. And start building trust with your wrestlers and have them tell stories. It's a fulfilling exercise when you can do it properly. So let's try it. Let's build on doing that, guys. All right. When we come back, we have Around the Square Circle. We're going to talk about what we watched, what we listened to, what we partook in this past week of wrestling. Went to House of Glory's Tribulations. That's what it's called. I went to House of Glory's Tribulations this past week, and you'll be surprised with my thoughts about it, as well as thoughts about what happened on Battle of the Belts and much, much more. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. I'll be back. Check you guys in a minute.
What's going on, everybody? Tony G here, better known to the world as Josie's Boy, aka your girl's favorite artist. And today I'm here to tell you about my company, Painting in Blue. Painting in Blue is a creative house I established in 2017, and we specialize in handmade custom leather goods. We coined the term luxury minimalism because we believe even in your everyday life, no matter how much running around you have to do, you can still stand out and be fly. We create everything from luxury handbags to wallets and some of the best leathers you can find that you would love to carry on a day-to-day basis. So if you believe in looking fly while you handle your business while pushing fashion forward, make sure you guys go to paintinginblue.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at _PaintedInBlue on Instagram and on Facebook at PaintedInBlue.
What's going on, guys? This is Leo Rush, the new House of Glory Crown Jewel Champion, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
On the Square Circle, ladies and gentlemen. What'd you do for Easter? I ain't do shit.
ago, when I was a young lad, you know, Easter was a thing. We would go, family get together, get dressed, probably go to McDonald's, probably go to the movies or some shit like that. But that is like gone and passe. I don't even do that with Super Producer Selly, and like we don't even do that. It's just regular Sunday to us. I mean, hell, Super Producer doesn't even have like godparents officially. Listen, anybody who's close to the family is her godparent, is her godfather, is her godmother. So we don't have to go through the whole pageantry and shit. Everybody looks out for everybody. So we don't, we're not that, religious, as to say. But, yeah, speaking of, there was a certain instance that occurred this past week on, on a certain show, which, I'm surprised has not drawn attention to itself. So, I should have been the one I've been a rabble rouser for that, right? But I'll get to that in a sec. But around the square circle, what we watched, what we listened to, what we partook in this past week in professional wrestling. I was, like I said, I was in training this whole past week, so listening to podcasts and trying to catch up on stuff wasn't an easy task to do. Like I said before, I was able to watch wrestling live, so that helps. That helped me with that. But as for the other aspects, I really, yeah. So I'll just go through what I tried to listen to. Cornette this week, his thoughts about the Moxley and Yuta match. I don't think I was that hard on it like he was, but I do understand where he's coming from, and I've been saying it for the longest about this Wheeler Yuta shit. It's really odd on how they are investing in him. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand. And he looks awkward with Moxley and Bryan Danielson. He looks awkward. Cornette's thoughts on Dixie Carter. That was a conversation that came up. And his thoughts as well as on the Discovery Warner Media deal. Also this week, MLW, LAX attacks Von Erichs again. This time with Fernandez. And we get a TJP Matt Cross rematch. And that was pretty much it for what I listened to, what I watched. We went to House of Glory's Tribulations this past week. And I was exhausted. I was riding on fumes. So a lot of that time I was really, really trying to get inebriated, because at least if I could put a little beer gas into this automobile, I was able to chug along and ride the wave. But I must tell you, the past couple of shows, and I've spoken freely here about it, that I was not pleased with how the shows ran. Especially the other time when we were basically pushed out the door, said event. But listen, on this show, although I have a friendship with certain promotions and certain people and certain individuals who pass through our pearly gates of of Turnbuckle Tabloid Central, I'm gonna be honest with it, and I'm gonna share my thoughts and opinions on certain shit. I'm not gonna fucking sugarcoat it. And I'm happy that a lot of people can confront me or come to me and say, hey, you know, did you have an issue here? This, and I'll tell you, yeah. And I'm not gonna bullshit you. And we can have a discussion. And that's what healthy individuals do. That's what healthy adults do. They have conversations. And I've had talks with people about certain things about their life. And the best part about it is that it's because we're adults and
we know each other and we respect each other, what we do, we can have these conversations. And I take pride in the fact that people respect my opinion because they feel I know what I'm talking about. And this is what I'm saying, that I never wanted to be a wrestler. I never wanted to be a promoter or an owner or some shit like that. It would have been fun, but I never wanted that. I just love the business. I love, you know, when it flourishes and it does well. And, you know, when people say, you've never taken a bump. And I go, okay. You've never fucking acted in front of a fucking camera. But yet you really want to talk shit about who is a great actor or a great actress. You've never spit a rhyme or followed on a beat before. And apparently you know who's a great rapper or a great singer. So the fuck. In any case. So, you know, these conversations that I've had in training, that's called drifting. I went away from what I was talking about. I drifted. But I'm going to bring it back. So in any case, so this past week we were at House of Glory Wrestling, and the show was actually really good. It was actually really good. For the past few events, like I said, I was bothered by what occurred, but this was actually really good. The matches that in which we've given shit to, which will be the six way matches for the six way title, was actually good this week. Amazing Red made his return, so that helped, and also there was a lot of highlights and spotlight making during that match. It's supposed to be a spot monkey match. It's supposed to be, but there was also some great. Showcasing of talent during that match. So shout out to my boy Encore. Shout out to our boy Monte Montequilla, who's in that match as well. It did it for me. It got my attention. Also, they had the triple threat match was with Low-Key, Charles Mason, and Ken Broadway. Broadway was taken out early. But by the way, guys, you could watch this on Fight if you want. It's on Fight TV. So check out House of Glory at FITV. But you might be able to see me too, because I was in a couple of spots there. You might see me. Click click. Check out that match as well. Real fun, entertaining match. And lastly, the main event, which was the tag team match between the Briscoes and TJP with Jeff Cobb, was a really good match as well. So I have to say, just as much as people hear me talk shit about them on their podcast, you only hope that they hear when I say positive shit as well. So, hey, listen, that's how I do here, ladies and gentlemen. That's how I do here. So, other than that, let's get into Raw this week. As I mentioned earlier, Raw kicked off this week with the Miz TV segment with Cody Rhodes and The Miz. They each shared a banter. This was leading up to their match, which was going to occur on Raw. Of course, there was the no-no words that were mentioned in which Miz was correcting him. Miz says if Cody wasn't the grandson of a plumber, he'd be a real plumber. Many people were equating this to MJF Lite, and gotta agree, because, you know, MJF could get away with saying certain things that Miz can't, not necessarily profanity, but, you know, if we're gonna be a person who's digging a knife in, Miz would have a fisherman's knife, and MJF would have a machete. Let's just say it like that. I mean, that's just what it is. I thought the segment was well done. It was a good precursor to what was going to lead up later on. We next get MJF attacking Damian Priest backstage, which was an odd kind of segment, somewhat. But I can see where they were building up to it. I can see where they were going with it. This was during a AJ Styles interview. Veer Mahan defeats Dominic Mysterio in basically a semi-squash match. Veer assaulted Dominic after the match, and Dominic was taken out in a stretcher. Then we get AJ Priest versus Damian. We get AJ Styles versus Damian Priest. Bear with me, guys. I'm still dealing with the fucking time and sleep shit. AJ Styles versus Damian Priest, which ended up in a... I don't know what the fuck it was, because after AJ was thrown out of the ring, we get Damian Priest taking a knee in a black light. Not a black light, it gets dark in a fucking purple hue. I don't know what the fuck that was. I'm still pondering on what the fuck was the purpose of that. I thought that something was going to pop up. I thought a dragon would. I don't know what the fuck was going to happen, but cut to commercial, and that was that. We get Cody versus The Miz in a really good match. I thought it was a great showcase for Cody's return on the Raw. And Miz did a hell of a job with helping put him over. So Cody gets the win here. Looks like going forward from here on out, Cody looks like he'll be the big face of Raw this from here on for now. Which, by the way, time heals all wounds, huh? I'm telling you, time heals all wounds. By the way, this is Cody's first match in 6 years on Raw, and Seth then entered the ring and made a rematch with Cody official for, I believe it's Backlash, the WrestleMania Backlash. We get Tommaso Ciampa, who officially joined Raw, in a backstage segment. Ezekiel welcomed him in, and then Kevin Owens comes out with his whole, "You're Elias, you're not Ezekiel, Elias," blah, 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 banter. We're still doing this. WWE Tag Team Champion Naomi defeats Liv Morgan. We then get the VIP lounge, where MVP said that he turned on Bobby last week because Lashley stopped appreciating him and thought he was no longer needed. MVP claimed that Amos is bigger and meaner and will take Lashley's place on the top of the mountain. You think they bring back the Hurt Business? You think they bring Cedric and Shelton back with Amos? Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville announced that the next week Kevin Owens will give Ezekiel a lie detector. Okay, all right. I forgot about that shit. Just gonna drag this. Count that to Ezekiel getting fucking the boot. Right, we'll be getting that soon. He'll be a future endeavored soon. Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair defeats Zelina Vega. After the match, Sonya came out and introduced Bianca's first challenger to the title. Sonya had an open contract, and Bianca signed it. And this is when Bianca said who's going to be her opponent, and it became Sonya after she... so it's going to be Sonya. Royal Tag Team Champions RK-Bro defeats Alpha Academy again. After the match, the Usos came out, challenged RK-Bro for their tag titles for a unification match. Street Profits interrupted and said they want a shot. The Usos said, basically, Randy booked a tag team match between the Usos and the Street Profits. So, yeah, because now anybody can book a match, right? We get the Usos defeating the Street Profits. And then after the match, Orton took out Montez with an RKO. Angelo Dawkins took out Riddle, and the Usos took out Orton, and then posed with both the Raw, Smack Team, SmackDown, and tag titles at the end of the show. I'm a fan of this angle. I'm not a fan of the unification of the tag titles, but if they are booking the way that they're booking, where just the champions in themselves are bouncing from show to show, I will be in agreement with that. I'll be happy with that. So we'll see how they do this from here on out. AEW Dynamite kicks off with CM Punk versus Penta. Too much pageantry in the beginning. I know the whole Penta, Escudo, fucking, that whole gimmick is basically, you know, their version, I guess, of Ministry, Undertaker, whatever the case may be. And I know it's from, Lucha Underground and shit, but like I said, it was a little bit too long. They really didn't focus on him. There was a lot of panning on CM Punk during all this. As for the match was cool. It was a fun match. Punk goes over as well. Punk with the win. We got Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Red Dragon to retain the WWE Tag Championships. I mean, that means it's going to be the AEW Tag Championships. Okay. Meh at best. And that sucks because I love Red Dragon. But once again, I'm not seeing it here with these guys. Blackpool Combat Club versus Gun Club will take place on Rampage. We get Sean Dean and MJF. And in this match, we get the return of Wardlow again, coming out the crowd and dressed as security. MJF loses via countout. Sean Dean with the win. Wardlow said he would keep screwing over MJF and won't stop until MJF releases him from his contract. Darby Allin then challenged Andrade to a coffin match for next week. Jake Hager, Jericho, and Daniel Garcia defeat Eddie Kingston, Santana Ortiz in another meh match. We get Marina Shafir going against Sky Blue, and oof, I love me some Sky Blue. Oof. She could job for me all day, ladies and gentlemen. Oof. But Shafir, once again, I know she's getting a lot of love in the indies, and people are really riding high with her, but this is not it. This is not it at all. And there was no focus on her. It was more focus on Jade Cargill and her stupid ass fucking baddie section. No focus was on the talent itself. You have an incoming wrestler. You want to focus and showcase why she is going to be challenging Cargill for her title. You have an incoming star coming in, and you are more focused on the baddie section and on that bullshit. Good job, guys. Good fucking job. We get Hook versus Tony Nese is being made official for next week. FTW champion Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs defeat Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland.
Yeah, because that's what you do when you have a guy like Keith Lee. And we're going to treat everyone like equals. Finally, we get Samoa Joe versus Minoru Suzuki in the ROH TV Championship match. And, you know, I could shit on this all day. And I'm not, because I was having a conversation with Whole Milk the other day about Suzuki. And Suzuki's like basically, you know, he's 53, 54 years old. He'll be something like that. You know, maybe making his way out the door sooner or later. There's talk about possibly this is his retirement run. And from the man that we knew from 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever the case may be, it's not going to be the guy now. It's a different style. He's still the strong style. He's still the grappler if he wants to be, you know. But, you know, what are you going to do? Motherfuckers are going to, he's going to take chops. He's going to give chops. He's going to be doing that shit, that whole spiel back and forth. But my shit is that you give him the fucking ROH TV title because you're trying to do the transitioning, because somebody tells you, like, new company, new people, you got to transition them belts. You took it off of Rhett Titus, which, all right, he was working with, he's working with NWA these days. So maybe he comes back to Ring of Honor, maybe not, who knows. But why didn't you book Rhett Titus with Wheeler Yuta? That would make more sense. If you were going to change belts with somebody, you could have put fucking Daniel Garcia in the match for the pure title, because he makes more sense for the pure title. Duh. And if you wanted to put a belt on Wheeler Yuta, you could have put the TV title on Wheeler Yuta. Why? Because you already knew that you was going to drop the belt quickly to Samoa Joe? So let's put it on Suzuki. Give him a belt, because we knew that he's going to drop it anyway. And he'll be done with the company. Okay. If that's your thought process on it, go with God, I guess. But in any case, like I said, this is one of those matches, those dream matches, you know, AEW fans, indie fans will pop for. If it was in a different setting, I probably would have been like, oh, this is fucking great. I would have loved it. But for me, watching it at on a platform like this, I'm like I said, indie show with a budget. Indie show with a lot of budget. With a lot of budget, a lot of fucking Markisms going on. Honestly. Samoa Joe gets the win here. As we spoke earlier, after the match, we get lights. We get Samoa Joe being attacked by Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal. And we get the introduction of Scrotum Singh. I guess that's his name. Scrotum Singh. Kali 2.0. And that closes out the show. As I open up my third fucking beer doing this shit. Woof. I totally forgot that I actually did watch this. I was like, oh shit, did I watch SmackDown? I'm over here talking shit saying that I was able to watch shit live this week. I forgot I was at House of Glory this week. It was during Friday Night SmackDown, and I'm like, fuck. And I forgot I did watch it. I watched it earlier today. SmackDown opened up with Rated RK Bro coming out. And why were they fucking over? The crowd was just into it. Yo, regardless of what y'all say, man, fucking Randy is still king. I don't care what nobody tells me. Listen, I know there's a lot of people who give Randy shit. They call him bland. They say he's fucking not charismatic. But
I totally disagree, man. I mean, I'm a huge, like I said, I'm a huge Randy Mark. I've been Randy Mark for years, and I'm not a fan of face Randy, but I'm going to give him a pass for this one. This run right here with Riddle has grown on me, especially knowing that he's embraced it more. That shows a sign of maturity, and as well as him coming to grips with, you know, he's now the torch passer. So, and this tag team actually grew on me over time. I really thought this was fucking shit. I hated it. But it has grown on me, and Riddle has grown on me as well. Talent-wise in the ring, Riddle's awesome. But I'm just, I don't know, with this Spicoli slash Rob Van Dam vibe with him, it took time to grow on me. Cool guy. We met him on live, and he was actually a really, really good dude. By the way, oh my God, now they're fucking throwing grasshoppers out of his fucking, his slippers, and it gave McAfee a chance to make a weed reference on this fucking commentary. I'm like, all right, I whatever. So the RK Bro comes out and they accepted the challenge with the Usos to unify the tag titles. So we're gonna be seeing that. We get Rhea Ripley defeating Naomi in a decent match, actually. Decent match. Then we get Drew Gulak is now an interviewer. So I'm like, okay, I'm with the shits. Listen, you gotta give him some burn, man. I actually thought he was fucking released, but I forgot that they brought him back. And he actually looks good for the role. Fits him. You gotta get it where you fit in, man. You gotta do what you gotta do. He's already, if I'm not mistaken, he is a trainer at the PC. So if you could get him in the interview role, hey, fuck it, get a check, bro. Whatever works for you. We get a backstage segment with Happy Corbin, and he discusses his thoughts on Madcap Moss. He was a hanger-oner. He was a lingerer. Now we got two heels not liking each other, which led to Madcap Moss in a match with one half of the Los Lotharios, who I believe are supposed to be heels as well. So you have Madcap Moss, a heel, versus another heel. And listen, as much as I give shit to AEW, WWE, you're not getting a fucking pass either. You could have picked anybody else in that scenario to go up against Madcap Moss face-wise. Hell, you could have picked fucking Joe Schmo from Idaho in the front row to fucking go up against Madcap and squash him. But now you had him lose to Umberto, and after the match, it seemed like there was some dissension between the tag team. Yeah. Somebody else needed to book that shit. Charlotte went to have a discussion with Adam Pearce in the back and was interrupted by Gulak, who wanted to discuss his interviewing performance with Pearce, in which Charlotte called him out and said, don't cut into her time. As a matter of fact, meet me in the ring. We will talk about this in the ring. Charlotte was in super heel mode in this time, calling out the fans, telling them that they're quitters and they probably quit everything in their life. They quit the gym. They quit relationships. Not her. She's a winner, blah, blah. And she even called Gulak a quitter because he quit his wrestling career to be an interviewer. She told him to leave the ring. And this is when she attacked him from behind and put him in the figure eight. Thought this was a good segment for what it was. She did bring the heat. The fans were really giving her shit. You know, it's great because, you know, you go to certain part parts of the country, they know how to play along. And I believe they were in Worcester, Mass. And of course, that's a big WWE town, and they definitely know how to play. I just thought the Gulak screaming, "I quit," to Charlotte. Listen, you could call me a misogynist if you want, but you better be a strong fucking female to make me fucking scream, "I quit." So that leg lock must have been in deep. Plus, it took forever for the referees and shit to come and break it up. So, yeah. We then get Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn. This, once again, this is going to be one of those this funny runs to, I guess it's going to be filler until Drew gets his run against Roman again soon. So Drew McIntyre defeats Sami Zayn via countout. But this time we scheduled a lumberjack match for next week's SmackDown. Sheamus defeats Jinder Mahal in the Intercontinental Championship match to retain. I was looking at the next header. Ricochet defeats Jinder Mahal to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Ricochet looked really good in this match, and same with Jinder. Jinder, is doing his role, and he looked good. We get Sheamus and Ridge Holland, and they lost because Butch can't find him. Butch was then found attacking Xavier Woods backstage, and they pulled him away. They lost Butch. I'm trying to remember if I remember that segment. Like he's you know, Pete Dunne is now the loose cannon, I guess. I'm not quite sure how I'm thinking about this. I'm still, you know. There's been a new initiative where apparently WWE is changing fucking everybody's name now. And he's just going to change everybody's fucking name when they want. So there's some that, okay, remember when everybody bitched about Riddle? I mean, Riddle worked. Remember when people bitched about, who's another one? Hell, even the Gunther and Ludwig thing was kind of growing on me now. It's kind of getting there. Like, hey, I could see it. Okay. I'm trying to think of another one that everybody's like, "Oh my god, they lost their shit." Like LA Knight, everybody was, and I was like, "Okay, that Eli Drake, LA Knight, that's fine." I guess because I'm a Pete Dunne fan, this Butch shit is just really not. I don't know. It's rubbing me the wrong way. After Natalya was bitching in the bank to Sonya, Shayna Baszler about, the new person in the building who's, I guess, putting up their clothes everywhere. Turns out Raquel Rodriguez was there. That's a big chick, bro. That's a huge bitch. I'm telling you, one way along the line, she's going to just go away and come back with big tits. I'm telling you, somebody is going to tell her, "You need some big tits," and they're going to get it for her too. WWE is going to pay for her to get big tits. Lacey Evans had a long promo about her childhood and all that. Really trying to push this face look, huh? Really trying to get that face look. I don't think it's necessary. She's going to be like the new female Sergeant Slaughter, I guess. But it's a little bit too long-winded for me. It was, I mean, I get it. And it did kind of tug at the heartstrings, especially when she's talking about the abuse that she suffered from her dad. But it was a little bit too long for me, dog. And finally, we get Riddle versus Jimmy Uso, in which Riddle gets the win in a really good match. SmackDown was cool this week. Wasn't too over the top. It was good. They had to face
a lot of sports that's happening at this time. Baseball is back, and NBA playoffs are up and running and such. But I don't really think that it affected it too much. It still had a good show, a good showing. So SmackDown was decent this week. AEW Rampage. We had a six-man tag. We had a Blackpool Combat Club versus the Gun Club. It was good to see Billy Gunn in this match. He looks good, man. Fucking almost 58 years old? Shit. Fucking guy looks amazing, and he still works as though it was like 25 years ago. Fucking awesome, I have to say. I really want to pick apart this match and fucking bash it, but I can't. It was all right. I just think the dynamic with these three just doesn't work for me. But, I mean, to each his own, right? Eula pinned Billy to pick up the win. Wow, I mean, y'all motherfuckers talk about when Vince was trying to stuff Roman down our fucking throat. Pause, right? Girl, man, don't say pause. But shit, really? They're really trying to put this fucking guy over. Billy Gunn, jack the fuck up. Hey, hold on, I forgot how this finishes. With the fucking ugliest roll up ever. Shit. I mean, fuck. You know what? They really, instead of me just letting this kid get a pass, I'm going to really fucking hate this kid. I'm going to fucking hate him. It's fucking disgusting. Dustin Rhodes comes out and said he has his own bucket list that he has. And someone who's really high on that list is CM Punk, and he will face him on Dynamite, which I'm very interested in seeing. That's going to be a good match for me to watch. Ruby Soho defeats Robin Renegade in the Owen Foundation Women's Qualifier. Who the fuck knew that? I mean, once again, I don't watch YouTube AEW bullshit. Like, I don't watch fucking Dark Elevation, Dark Side, Blackout, Dark Side Squadron. I don't know what the fuck it is, but who knew she had a fucking a twin? But they were doing the whole twin magic bullshit, and Soho was able to pull out the win. The better look would be that you would take these two and pair them up with Ruby Soho. You would take the Renegade girls and pair them up with Ruby Soho. If you're going to do factions, that's a good faction right there. That's a good look. I like that. The Butcher defeats some fucking schlub quickly, and which led to our main event, which was Hangman Page against Adam Cole in a Texas death match. Thank God I'm drinking a beer. I often have to remind myself, this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me. But still, the blood pressure medications were on the side, and I made sure not to take those while drinking at the same time. Nonsensical match, didn't make it, was pointless. Basically, we've seen Cole have this match in NXT in a fucking pay-per-view when it mattered. Not this bullshit that's done on fucking TV. On a Friday night show, no less. But the kicker, the kicker of this match was the fucking end. Okay, so Cole and Paige were on the apron on the outside, and Paige sets him up for his finisher. But before he did, he had barbed wire on his arm, and he puts the barbed wire on Cole's head. Subtle, but looked like a crown of thorns. On Good Friday, are we not drawing a comparison here, people? Sean Ryan Sapp made a comment about it on Twitter as he laughed my ass off about it, and Eric Bischoff quickly retorted, "Oh, you thought that was funny? Why didn't anybody fucking chase this? They sure enough chased and dragged the fucking pizza cutter shit, but we're not dragging the biblical reference." Of a thorn crown on Adam Cole's head on Good Friday. Listen, I mentioned earlier, I'm not a religious nut. I don't give a fuck. That shit ain't got nothing to do with my morality. I don't give a fuck. That ain't got nothing to do with me. But I'm talking about the hypocrisy that the rest of the wrestling community would have. WWE would have done this shit. They wouldn't, but would have had an inkling of doing anything that's... Oh, please. And during the Attitude Era, when Stone Cold was crucified, quote unquote, did they not get a backlash for this? But I guess it was done low key and it was subtle. So no one really was going to make mention of it. But come on, guys. Really? Then with the finish, I'm confused. Was it that Paige won by countout? Did he win by knockout? Because from what I saw, he hits the blackout, I think that's what it's called. He hits the finisher through the table. They're both out on the floor. Paige gets on his feet before Cole does. Jumps in the ring. Why? I don't know, because I don't even think he needed to be in the ring to win. But even when he got into the ring, he went back on the floor. So you have to restart the fucking count. If it's supposed to be a knockout, you have to restart. Fuck this. Like I said, this is just, it's fucking stupid. I really, and I swear, you could shit on AEW fans' face and they would think that it's raining fucking chocolate. I swear, they would fucking accept anything. I'm sorry. It's bullshit. I can't with this fucking company. But yet I'm going to give you Battle of the Belt, so get ready for that. Battle of the Belts, Part 2, kicks off with Sammy Guevara battling Scorpio Sky for the TNT Championship. And you know when you try to have a double turn happen and you don't want it to happen? You didn't try to do it. Like it intentionally happened. Like you remember when we saw with, we could always go to Hogan, Rock, Stone Cold, Bret. We could always hope that it naturally happens that way. Or maybe it's planned, but I'm not sure if it's going to occur. Yeah, this didn't happen at all. It's fucking sucked. It just was... The original match, there was a spot in which Sammy Guevara and Scorpio Sky were on the ring apron on the outside, and Guevara went to set him up for some shit, and Scorpio hits him with a TKO on the outside, and it looked like a fucking mess. And honestly, this is when I came to the realization when it came to the AEW fans and wrestlers in a whole when it comes to this. You guys would do everything out of your fucking playbook even if it's going to if it's going to shorten your career or injure you severely, just to get a fucking pop, just to hear, holy shit, holy shit. That move had me say, you know what? Fuck this match. It was stupid. It was not necessary. It's a tough move to pull off, especially in that spot. You had the ropes that could have fucking flipped Sammy some other way. It's just, it's one of the moves, I'm telling you, that it's not, you call it at the moment. It's not one of those moves that you can practice and work on. It's not smart. It's really not smart. Going back to the whole thought process I had about the turn kind of thing, you had two people in this ring who are drawing, I guess, heat. One is planned. One is happening naturally, organically, because the fucking fans hate you, especially this your relationship bullshit. Now, once again, I'm not the fucking moral justice. I'm not the I'm not a social media justice. I'm not a individual who is responsible for everyone's lives. The thought behind this right now is that the fans are basically not behind this Guevara Ty Conti thing because they think it's tacky. They think it's fucking gross. And I'm watching this show. I'm watching with super producer Sally, and I even had to like show her. I said, look at this. And the way that they're kissing, and it's just, it's fucking gross. No one should even find it. It's that, it's this go away. Listen, even the whole Carmella and Corey Graves shit, I'm like, go away. But with them, it's even worse. And I think the fans have gotten to this thing to where, unless there's these, they're diabolical geniuses that they're fucking Lex Luthor in the back that I don't know. But I think the fans have gravitated to the idea that the whole Sammy proposing to his girl, and then, you know, half a year later, announcing that they're not getting married and they broke up, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's with Ty Conti. Unless they're diabolical geniuses where they said, you know what we can do? It's a year preparation, but it'll work. Let's have the fans really hate you by doing this. Yeah, I doubt that. I think it's very tacky for what they did. I think it's very forced. And yeah, I'm not I'm not the moral police here, whatever case may be, but I think the fan base, with their lack of disconnecting themselves from what's really good wrestling to shit, they even realize that this whole relationship angle bullshit is fucking tacky and it's really gross. Sammy Guevara gets the win for him to be the third time winner of the TNT Championship. And I thought this was done purposely because they're trying to eradicate the history, which is Cody Rhodes. We then get Jonathan Gresham versus Dalton Castle in the ROH World Championship match. Good match. I'm glad that Dalton Castle's back with the boys. Yay, he's with the boys. Gresham is such a good wrestler, man. I'm going to say that he's going to get squandered so much. I can't wait for this ROH shit to fucking just separate themselves from AEW somewhat. But he's going to be squandered there at AEW. There's too many big fishes in that small pond, man. Gresham gets the win here. After that, we get Jay Lethal and
Scrotum Singh come out and go to attack Jonathan Gresham after the match. But Lee Moriarty comes out, and afterwards Samoa Joe comes out and chases them away, and we have a handshake and a belt clash between the TV champ and the world champ. And finally, we get Thunder Rosa going head to head against Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's Championship. Fairly decent match. The only thing I could say about women, especially women of Thunder Rosa's size, is if you're going to run, don't run with small steps. And I've been, as a matter of fact, I think I've said this before. It's a large ring. Take bigger steps. You're looking like Ricochet Rabbit when you're running. What a fucking reference. When you're running towards an opponent, take bigger strides, because your smaller steps looks like I can move at any time. Probably one of the better matches that I've seen Nyla have in a long time. And in the end, Thunder Rosa gets the win. So, yeah, that'll close out Around the Square Circle as well as Wrestling Rundown and Turnbuckle Tabloid. You know, the fucking whole show, guys, ladies and everything. So before I close out, as always, I want to give some words of wisdom. This past week, like I said, I went through some trainings and I realized that there's some things that I can do and some things I cannot do. Not cannot do that. If I'm prepared for it, I can knock it out the box. If I knew ahead of time that I could, and I will be able to, or I need to do certain things, if I'm prepared for it, then I could get it done with, and I'll, you know, get what I need to do out of the way quickly. But that's not the fault of the individuals of there. On their end, it's on me as well, because I should have did a little bit more research about it, which is okay, because once again, I'll get it done. Same could be said about relationships, be it intimate or be it friendships. I could say the same thing as well. Certain things, if I knew ahead of time was going to be toxic or be a headache or be a problem, I would probably steer clear of it, or I would just know my boundaries and just leave it as they are. So you live and you learn. You know, certain people that you think that you could be friendly with and certain people that you think that you could be cool with, your personalities might not clash, might not meet. And as a wise person told me recently, you know, sometimes you don't want to mix company. You don't want to mix friendships. You don't want to mix a certain friendship you have in one to meet up another, because, you know, they won't vibe the same way. And I think I learned that lesson this past week, and it's okay. I've always told people my personality is an acquired taste, like beer and gasoline. You'll get it, and if not, then you just don't. And I'm okay with that. I don't have to be liked by everybody. I'm cool with that. I need to be loved by everyone, damn it. That's all right. It's cool. Through the years, my circle gets smaller and smaller, and I've come to grips with the fact that that's just what it is. I'll be all right. So guys, make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the like and group page. Check us out on all the Facebookers. Check us out on the Instagrammers. Check us out on the Twatters and all the TikTokers and all the YouTubers and everything else. And just be sure you check us out on all the podcasting outlets, as well as RageWorksNetwork.com and RageWorks.net. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Gonna have a couple of more beers and I'm gonna go take another sleepy poo. And take a bump, guys. Love you guys. See you guys later.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1. We'll be right back.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.